Hello and welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. Thank you for joining us. Studies show that sub-Saharan Africa has the highest rate of women entrepreneurs in the world. From vendors in a market in Freetown to corporate CEOs in Nairobi, women's entrepreneurial activity in Africa is closing the gender gap and in most cases changing the labor market. However, many women still say that they still face challenges, including access to financial resources, gender biases in their societies, and many others. These biases partly explain why the majority of female entrepreneurs are still part of the informal economy. However, as many African societies continue on the path to middle-income status, we are starting to have a better understanding and appreciation of women's contribution to the economic growth and progress in their societies. And there's no doubt that one of the main contributing factors to this growth is technology. It also explains the uptick in the number of women joining the formal sector, usually through tech startups. Across the continent, from Rwanda to South Africa to Morocco, women-led tech startups are disrupting industries like finance, introducing new fintech products on the market, to logistics. Recently covered Demo Africa, a tech launchpad competition that was held in Morocco's city of Casablanca. And that's where I met Khadija Jalouli, a Tunisian social entrepreneur. Khadija is building an electric car for people with reduced mobility. It's also in Morocco that I met our guest today, Hanna Bezad, a social entrepreneur who leads Le Vegan in Casablanca. Le Vegan is a coding boot camp that trains software developers. Hanna is in the studio with me today to share with us her experience as a young female entrepreneur in the tech space. And she will also talk to us about some of the challenges facing women in the startup ecosystem. Stay tuned. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. As usual, let's start by listening to your opinions.
My name is Nyaboth Pascal Alfred Juba. First of all, the background of our education in Africa, if I should say a whole, in Africa is not really that favorable for girls especially. Eliminate the mentality that girls cannot do what boys can do best.
My name is Asebi Evans. You know, there's a perception that some subjects are very hard, and also there's a perception that girls or women are weak. In my opinion, I think the first thing kind of undo that kind of perception that science subjects are hard for girls.
There has been this misconception that science subjects are hard, they are for boys. So the only thing which can be done is to tell those girls that whatever that can be done by boys these days is even done better by a girl child. So if we encourage them, in fact, some census shows that girls are better in science than boys because they like their health part, whereby they can read on themselves. They even come up with practical examinations better than
them. Thanks for sending in your voices. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi, and in the studio with me is Hanna Bezad, a social entrepreneur who leads Le Vegan in Casablanca. Welcome, Hanna. Thanks for joining us here in the studio. And we know we last hang out in Morocco in October of 2018. I came to visit your campus at Le Vegan. Let's start off by you telling our listeners about Le Vegan. What exactly you do?
Le Vagon is an amazing journey in itself. So it's a coding school. We offer a full stack 9 weeks coding boot camp. People sign up to learn how to code and to also launch eventually their startups based on the MVP they develop at the end of the boot camp. It was created in 2013 by three co-founders in Paris. Then from Paris, they went to Brussels, London, and a lot of other European tech hubs.
Right.
to North America, to Latin America, and to Asia. And I did the boot camp 2 years ago after a few years working as a consultant strategy, digital strategy consultant. And I loved it so much that
so
I decided...
Coming to Morocco is the first time it was crossing over to the African continent?
Absolutely.
Interesting. And it started in North Africa.
Absolutely.
And so you're running that coding school in Morocco. I came to visit. You guys are busy. You also presented at Demo Africa.
Yes.
When did you start the school then?
We started the first boot camp in March 2018.
How has the journey been for you as a young entrepreneur, especially as a female entrepreneur?
This journey has been intense, to say the least.
Intense.
But exciting. Very exciting. It's super meaningful for me to run a coding school in Morocco. It's, as an entrepreneur,
yes.
I think Morocco...
Young female entrepreneur.
Yeah. Let's break it down into all these challenges. There are layers and layers of challenges.
Yeah.
I think as a young female entrepreneur, it's very strange the way people perceive me eventually. Some people are... you know, have a lot of admiration to and they're actually listening and buying the vision that I'm telling them about what tech could bring, why it makes sense to empower female with entrepreneurial skills. To me, it's a step in my own personal journey of emancipation, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
given your background coming from a country that is... a little more traditional, conservative.
Yes, we can absolutely say about Morocco that it's a conservative society. Now, I was lucky to be born in a family that promoted education very much, and I went to a French school and American school, and I studied abroad, and I spent 10 years in Europe, so I had a lot of exposure to
different cultures, diversity. Right.
And I hold it at core to find this diversity and promote this diversity in what I do every day. But overall, yes, it's a country and it's a culture that's very challenging to women, for sure. So I'd say misperceptions, sometimes people don't have a hard time accepting, you know, introduce myself as Hannah, running my coding school. But
Hannah, you don't go saying I'm Hannah, the boss lady.
Yes. And I think they expect me to introduce myself as the boss lady.
Right.
And a lot of even young men ask me who's my partner. They expect a man to be behind.
You.
Yes.
Right. And essentially,
there's none.
There's nobody.
I went to seek the founders. I brought the school in Morocco.
Right.
It's the first one in Africa, and that's the narrative I'm writing. And I feel sometimes they have a hard time accepting this reality.
What do you want to achieve with this coding school?
Well, first of all, the program is meant for creative entrepreneurs. So ideally, I'd like to raise a peaceful army of creative entrepreneurs that will bring a lot of added value to the Moroccan economy, to the regional economy, and ultimately to the continent. Why not? Now, I want to set up a model around this boot camp, because we have a great program. We're ranked number one worldwide. I thought it was super meaningful to bring the best tech education available to other people.
To bring it to Africa.
To Africa. I need to make it accessible. So I need to find ways around the bootcamp to develop partnerships, to find grants, to tech empower creative entrepreneurs.
What kind of students do you attract?
We have local talents. We have talents from the diaspora. You know, people like myself a few years back that are still very attached to Morocco, that want to find a way to get there, but to have best of both worlds, keep the freedom they've acquired for a lot of different reasons in the professional world abroad, and reconnect with Morocco and their families and all the things that you can find as a repatriate. And we attract digital nomads. digital nomads are people that are location free.
Yeah, they move from place to place.
They moved from place to place to work remotely. Most of the time, yeah, they work in the tech field because those jobs allow such flexibility.
Right.
So basically, people that come are either seeking a way to start their company, so create their MVPs, or change jobs and join the tech scene. As full stack developers or product managers, or people that want to become like some of their teachers in the bootcamp tech nomads.
And in this one almost a year now, what are some of the things that you've learned, lessons that you could impart to a young tech entrepreneur, say in East Africa or West Africa, who is starting out?
I had the greatest lessons this year, and I'm expecting to have much more in the coming years, on both the professional and the personal side, for sure. We have very positive signals that we're growing. You know, my first bootcamp, I did it with 5 students and a team of 10 teachers. Second bootcamp, 8 students with a team of 15 teachers. And the third bootcamp, I had 18 students. So we signed partnerships. We signed partnerships in Morocco and outside of Morocco.
Right.
We have a lot of exposures, and people are actually listening to the story we want to tell. And I see a lot of startups that are very interesting, and you've seen them at Demo Africa, that are getting out of the bootcamp. So it is very much happening. So that's great, and we're working on very exciting projects to bring startups from other parts of the continent to Morocco. You know, kind of build this
collaborative environment.
A very collaborative environment. What I've learned, besides the realities of setting up a business in an African country that has to follow the processes of a European tech startup, I'd say, you know, I've learned to take feedback and listen to my own intuition.
Hannah, let me stop you there for a second. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Hannah Bezad. Hannah Bezad is a social entrepreneur from Morocco. She leads La Vega in Casablanca. La Vega trains software developers, and Hannah is talking to us about her experience as a young female entrepreneur, a social entrepreneur in the tech ecosystem, some of the challenges that she has to face and overcome, and some of the opportunities that technology presents. Technology as an equalizer in many cases, appending some of our old understanding of what constitutes as women's work.
Girls are good in science, so we just need to change that mindset of boys being the best in town. And then there are some doctors who are around, and they are female doctors. Those doctors should be coming out, speaking in public, telling girls that they have done it and they can also do it in school. Yeah. The doctors who are female should be role model, and they should be informing the other girls who are in schools that science is good for them and they can do well.
What should be done is to encourage girls to take science subjects. I think first of all begins at home. Parents should be educated. They should be taught how, you know, to involve the girls, and let me say generally the children, to teach them some things at home. Sometimes they fear the science subjects, because science, normally when you talk about it, it is more to do with, you know, the reproductive organs and other things with the human being. That is what normally goes to your mind.
Now, the thing is like this, you know, we girls actually, we tend sometimes to branch away from the science subjects. When you try to look at the nurses and the doctors we have around, the majority are men. So what I want to say, and maybe what can encourage them to do science, is are the teachers themselves at school.
Thank you for sending in your opinions. This is Upfront on Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi. This is Hannah Bezad. Hannah, thanks again for joining us here in the studios, at the Voice of America studios in Washington, D.C. You've been running Lovega in Casablanca for almost a year now. Let me ask you, as an entrepreneur, some of the lessons young people on the continent listening to these, some of the lessons they can get from you. Do you ever get frustrated by any aspect of your entrepreneurial journey? I know it can be challenging. Do you ever get frustrated, and how do you handle that when you get frustrated?
I do get frustrated, but I never tell myself that it's not the thing that I want to do, because it's very much what I want to do. Now, I do get frustrated for external circumstances, for the fact that it is so complicated to get a loan, or we have so many administrative processes in Morocco that are so absurd and outdated. I do get frustrated when, yes, I apply for a grant, and if you take a result-oriented approach, by far we're the most relevant entity to get the grant, yet people tell me that I am very young.
Right.
And
also, your age and sex also affects whether you can get the loan or not.
Yes, and I feel like if I had taken this application in America or Europe, it would have been the same answer. So sometimes I do get frustrated for that, but it's very much what I want to do.
At the end of the day, it's rewarding.
It's super rewarding.
Now, when I visited you in Casablanca, in Morocco, when we're having that chat, you talked to me about, you told me that you have another component to Lovagan, but this is personal, and it's Duotech, a program basically that seeks to educate young rural people in Morocco about technology, making tech education accessible to them. Talk to us about this, and why did you feel that this is important for you to start?
The story is interesting. So whenever I did Le Wagon, I fell in love with the program itself, but I also thought, you know, I get to a step where I'm very, very lucky to have access to this education. I want to make tech education accessible to different people. I had, back in Paris, I was part of the board of a social incubator called Led by Her that provides an entrepreneurial education to women that have suffered violence. And from all of this, I had the idea of launching a program targeting young people in rural areas in Morocco that are very much of the forgotten part of the population. Thinking maybe with this tech education, they will have an opportunity to re-explore expertise they have in agriculture or craftsmanship and have access to much broader and much more interesting markets. And that's what we're trying to do with Duartech, and we've been operating for a year.
Now, there's been a lot of interest of late from international organizations, whether it is private funders or organizations that have money, in terms of injecting money or investing in African tech startups.
Mm-hmm. And do you see the same level of interest by the same players, these companies, the Googles, the Facebooks, basically the investment ecosystem? Do you see the same interest that they're having in sub-Saharan Africa also translating to interest in North Africa? What's the interest level there?
We do see Google, Facebook more interested in sub-Saharan Africa than in North Africa so far. And I regret this this divide. I think we need to work with a continental approach. We do have similar challenges. And a lot of that's why we clicked so much with the team of Demo Africa. We need not to recreate other divides. That doesn't make sense.
North Africa reinforced divides.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
North Africa can serve as a platform. That's because we're close to Europe, and we can, you know, be this point of the crossroads.
Right, right.
That being said, I am very happy that big companies are getting interested in what's happening in Africa, because, you know, it's the future. Mm. It's the youngest population that's going to be so massively represented in the future. We need to make sure that Africans and young Africans have access to the best possible education, and in particular tech education. And we need to empower people with this so they can create tech that does make sense and does have a positive impact and eventually addresses the challenges that we have in Africa, instead of being this, you know, consumers of tech that comes from abroad that's completely disconnected from their realities.
Let's talk a little bit about technology in general as the great equalizer. You know, you're a woman entrepreneur, young woman entrepreneur in the tech space. Do you feel like technology is the great equalizer in terms of breaking some of those old, I guess, molds or stereotypes about the capacity and the capability of women in general, assigning gender roles to what people can do? Like, women cannot be good in tech. Do you feel like technology is helping kind of break away some of those barriers?
Technology can totally act as a potential equalizer if only we allow it to. By that, I mean that, yes, when you bring the same tools to women and men, and you make sure that women question their very long-held limiting beliefs and focus on their capacity to create, to do a clean code, and to cooperate in a team, of course it acts as an equalizer. Now, the reality is that to get to this best tech education, you need to take people. You need to show them the way. And you need to show them that not only there are opportunities, but it makes sense for them to anyway acquire this knowledge, because it's the world they're going to be living in anytime soon.
This is the world where it is going with it. So you either decide to be on board with it, or you can come with your own parochial beliefs, and you might not be able to succeed as the world is progressing.
Right. Now, I want to add something. In Morocco, it's very interesting, because when you take the larger statistics, I remember reading a BCG document on this. So you only have 10% of women that are entrepreneurs. But in the tech or the emerging tech scene, there are lots of women. So women have understood that technology could represent an opportunity, a very good opportunity for them to, you know, be the ambitious founders and creatives they want to be, and set a model that could be followed by other women.
In terms of gender composition, does your school attract more men or women?
So far,
is that something that you've been thinking about?
We very consciously support female in tech. We have a special scholarship for it, and we're working with other organizations to offer more opportunities for women and women entrepreneurs in particular to join the bootcamp. Now it depends, because in my second batch I had 60% of female, in my third batch I had only a third, and we're aiming at having a diversity or parity in the bootcamp.
Do you fear that as your students graduate, that the labor market will apply this gender lens to them in terms of who they choose to employ?
You have a fair point here. I have to say that starting with the very staff of Le Wagon, we have a hard time getting women to take the first step to their career as a freelance tech nomads that could work as a teacher. So many men get out of the bootcamp, come to me, they were good in the bootcamp, they offer to eventually start being a teaching assistant at some point, and I had no female so far coming spontaneously to me to do so. So I had to go and seek them, and it's an ongoing process.
What do you think that is?
Again, it's probably limiting beliefs. They think they're never good enough. To all the females that I've talked to so far, oh, I'm not sure. It's like the little mistakes they have made so far.
Do you feel like that is
it's a lack
that
of confidence?
You will have to incorporate in your education. A confidence boosting class. aside from just the coding?
Definitely, and we did so already. Now, aside from coding, we make sure that they have the best experience possible. So I have a female running coach that organizes a lot of activities with a boxing teacher, with a meditation coach. It does help, but still, it takes a little bit of time to build their self-confidence. And anyway, at some point, the key message to tell them is it's okay not to feel super confident as long as you're not limiting yourself. Do it. Start working on a project, and you'll build your self-confidence with time, with the right people around you.
Right. Let's talk. I know we're running out of time, but let's talk a little bit about tech hubs on the continent. Mm-hmm. You've had a lot of exposure, whether it's in Europe, North Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, when we read about technology in Africa, whether it's in Lagos, whether it's in
Kigali,
where you visited, whether it's in Nairobi, the Silicon Savannah. What are some of the things that you see when you go to these tech hubs?
Mm-hmm. The first term that comes to my mind is promising. I think we're setting up or we're creating a model that's new. The tech hubs in Africa, those that I've visited, are, you know, it's a dynamic that's being imposed by people that have understood how it functions in Europe or in the Silicon Valley, have understood that it cannot function the same way in Africa. So they're looking for ways to make it faster, to develop partnerships with corporates. That's what we're trying to do in Morocco. A lot of people are trying to do so. We're also witnessing a lot of incredible things in the continent, especially in countries like Kenya or Rwanda, where obviously technology is leapfrogging, and we're setting a trend to even in terms of like tech products that are created around a mix of web-based services and human beings. So that is very interesting. Ultimately, I think the very promise of the tech industry is to bring value and to answer unemployment issues as well. So we need to incorporate this. It's human development at the end of the day.
As a leader, Hannah, do you ever question yourself or the decisions that you make or have made? How do you basically deal with situations where you question yourself or whether you're not sure whether you're doing the right thing or you made the right decision about something?
I think it's good to question yourself, but ultimately you take, on an everyday basis, you take a lot of important decisions and less important decisions. Most importantly, I think the best thing to do is to surround yourself with the right people that have the right energy for when you're low and when you're up, just to bring you back to the reality of what you're trying to create and for whom you're trying to create it.
That's very important, because that keeps your eye on the ball.
On the purpose of
why you're doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Hannah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jackson, for having me. It was a real pleasure to be here.
And with that, we come to the end of our show today. I want to thank our guest, Hannah Bezad. Hannah is a social entrepreneur who leads Le Vegan, a coding bootcamp based in Morocco, in Casablanca, precisely. We want to thank you, all of you, for joining us today, and for all of you who sent in your opinions. Your voices really matter to us. We like to hear what you have to say about this topic and other topics. You can reach out to us. Our email is upfront@voanews.com. That is upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on our social media, my handle is @upfrontafrica. You can also check out our Facebook page. Keywords Upfront VOA Show. Upfront VOA Show, that's keywords on Facebook, and link up with us, like the page and share with your friends, and let us know about some of the things you want to talk about, things that are happening that are important to you and important to all our listeners in this interconnected world. What happens in your neighborhood affects all of us, and we love to hear from you about some of those things that connect us as human beings, but also especially as Africans. My name is Jackson Vunganyan. We'll catch you again next time right here on The Voice of America. I will leave you with a Nigerian proverb that says, in the moment of crisis, the wise build bridges, and the Foolish build dams. Have a nice week, Africa.